beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning June 11th, this is the Rain Report, available both from rainreport.com
and in magnificent telephonic audio
from 847-827-RAIN. That's 847-827-7246. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This week we bring you our third excerpt from the recently completed Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum. In the first two excerpts, we feature William Cross, W3TN. In the final two, we'll hear from FCC attorney Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. Here now is our first excerpt from Riley's presentation.
First of all, I want to dedicate this talk to a person named John Dabney, who wanted to hear it as his last wish. The mail clerk handed me an envelope on the way out Thursday and said somebody had written in wanting to hear this is his last wish. I haven't had a chance to read it, but here's the letter. It says, "My name is John Dabney. I'm a 70-year-old ham operator. I heard you were giving an enforcement talk again at Dayton this year. Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be my last wish on this earth to hear another one of your enforcement speeches." Well, can't win them all. Now, seriously, I want to tell you from an almost 7-year perspective what I personally think you need to do to make the amateur radio service thrive and to enjoy the incredible opportunity that you have for having fun and dedicating your time to public service and so forth. And it's important for me to tell you this because it occurred to me that I won't be around much longer to preach to you like this. I'll be dead for one good reason: Hamfest hot dogs. I started thinking the other day just how many I had eaten, and I noticed that on some of the unsold ones, I see them again and again at different ham fests. In Morganton, North Carolina, I carved my initials in one and put it back on the roller rack, and I saw it again for the next 2 years. First, for the enforcement update, we have a new chairman and a new bureau chief. I don't expect any changes. I haven't gotten any signals that there will be any changes. I could be surprised next week, but I seriously doubt it. My bet is we maintain the course. BPL, I do not handle BPL matters. BPL is a new technology, and new technologies are always, if you look through the history of the commission, handled at headquarters in the first few years. What I do handle, and this confuses some people, is power line radio frequency interference cases from bad hardware. If your 20 meters is blanked out, so forth and so on, we do handle those. Those go to the American Radio Relay League first, and they take the first cut at handling them, and they have handled, I guess, up near 1,000 so far. They do a splendid job. We couldn't do it if it didn't go to the league first. The ones they can't handle, they send to us. We can eventually get them solved. It takes a little longer than you like or than I like, but power companies are bureaucracies too, and I've found them generally cooperative in power line interference cases. Complaints have continued declining for a full year. Usually you see a decline in the spring as people are being kicked out in the yard to cut grass and do things they should have been doing all year instead of watching football and drinking beer in the house. But for a solid year now, we've had one steady decline. I think that's a good sign. We're trying new procedures with the high-frequency direction-finding facility that includes tape recording at the same time with different types of bearings. It's very effective and it's working very well. The biggest case since last year, of course, is the Gerritsen case. I won't bore you with that, but you can find a lot about that on the league web pages and some of the other amateur media. He was indicted for, I think it was 6 counts, interference to not only amateur radio service, and this is not technically an amateur case, not only interference to the amateur service, but interference to the federal government frequencies, to Mars, and that great suicidal thing you can always do, interfere with the Coast Guard. He's out on bail, but it's an extremely rigorous bail condition. He had to put up the full cash amount of the bail, which I think was his house or a loan on his house. And all this is on the Justice Department website, too. Ankle bracelet, no radio, not getting near any radio transmitter, so forth and so on. So I don't think we'll hear from him again. And now we'll be looking very closely at those who gave him equipment and encouraged him to do this. Advanced and extra class licensees, those are still my problem children. I don't have a lot of technicians causing problems. It's advanced and extra class licensees. I think maybe because of selfishness, rudeness, maybe a little arrogance. We've had some problems this year with nets being too pushy. Now, I know that these nets are one of the underpinnings of amateur radio, and we often cite that. The fact is, in the rules, no matter how long you've run a net or what your purpose is, you don't have exclusive rights to that frequency. Most nets realize this. Some are a little too pushy about it, and some have some erroneous assumptions. The VEC program, there was only one big case in the VEC program this year. We're still working on that. The UKIPA exam session, and of course, you probably know what state that was in, California. We've done over 100 recalls going back to 1999. We've heard from four so far, and all of them have gotten the first round of letters and signed for them. Overall, amateur compliance is very, very good. I'm really happy with it. We've got a good distance to go, and some very good things of late. Happened to find out the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania school system teaches amateur radio as part of their physics classes. There's a guy over there named Sean Barnes, N3JQ. Over the last 3 years, they have gotten 60 amateur radio licensees out of those classes. Now, if there's such a thing as dedicating a talk to somebody, it would be to this fellow, because you know how busy teachers are, and you know that if you look at the time they put in and compare the per hour salary that they get, it's pretty bad. But he's gotten 60 licensees, planted these seeds for the future. I wish I could live long enough to track these 60 kids. You can bet some of them will go with NIH, Centers for Disease Control, or NASA. I'd love to track what they contribute to society and to science and technology over the next few years. And some people say that Americans are getting complacent, lazy, and they're losing their competitive edge in science and technology. I can't think of a better way to help thwart that and turn that around than something like this. And I went over to talk to the Harrisburg Club, and four of the kids were there at the meeting. It's not all guys either, it was girls. One of them came up to me afterwards and said that they considered it to be an everyday science project. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, I could try to put in something in our annual science project. Maybe I'd get something in, maybe I wouldn't. But every time I turn on this radio, it's a science project. I can talk to somebody in Africa on 10 watts or get on the Echolink. I can talk through satellites, and it's a science project every single day. Sean probably will never know the contributions that he's made by doing that. In South Carolina, a group down there got a $100,000 grant for an emergency communications trailer for Aiken County. The latest and greatest technology in digital, HF, packet, GPS, and everything. When this culminates, I hope that you folks will get a lot of publicity for the amateur radio service out of it. The public, and even we don't realize how much amateur radio is dependent upon. The public doesn't realize how much amateur radio is dependent upon for emergency communications. And I'm sure that you've heard about this Indian amateur operator. She got an award out here this year. Gave the first news out of India of the tsunami, the earthquake. Just the other night, I hope you got to see the Jay Leno show, or that you've seen a tape of it. It took some pretty precise timing for Chip to say 43 years in ham radio. If he hadn't mentioned that, there'd be millions of people watching that wouldn't associate Morse code or CW with amateur radio and wouldn't have gotten a plug-in for amateur radio. If that had been me sitting down at the table, I probably would have knocked the key off on the floor as I sat down.
The irrepressible and ever-popular FCC enforcement guru, Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, will conclude our excerpt from Riley's 2005 Dayton Hamvention Talk and our excerpts from the Hamvention's FCC Forum next time. By the way, part two of William Cross, W3TN's FCC Talk, is still online from rainreport.com. Thanks to audio underwriting from CQ Communications. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 to 2005. Rain, all rights reserved. Now from Muggy Macomb, Illinois, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.